Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. It has been about a month since we've been here, which is longer than we'd like to do, but that's just how it goes sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, Austin Slater. I've got Dan Kinnis with me. Dan, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's good to be together again, Austin, and have this space. And yeah, for those who've been listening, hopefully you've stuck with us as we've had a little time off for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, but some 1 week it was tech issues. We've had visiting pastors. We've had spring break. It's kind of been all over the place, but we're really glad to be back. We're glad to be diving back into it. And it actually works really well that, you know, today's our first day back in a while because we're also kickstarting a brand new series.
Yes.
Isn't that right, Dan?
Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit about this series first, just like, where are we going? Why did we decide to focus on this in the upcoming few weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll dive into the sermon itself on Sunday.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be good. You know, when you come out of Easter, and usually you're kind of early April, and you see summer on the other end, it's like, what do we do in between for a series here? And often, I think fittingly, we go to kind of a missional aspect because, you know, we know that Christ is alive, God's unleashed his power. So how do we get on mission, right? This is what we're called to do. And we've done that in the past year as well. And we were talking about it this year and looking at the weeks, you know, what can we do? And I just kept getting drawn back to this passage from Ephesians 6, which is a well-known passage about the armor of God, but really thinking about it from a missional standpoint and how if we are going to be a missional people following the Great Commission that Jesus has given to us, this is really what Paul is pointing to here. We need to be wearing God's armor. And so that's, I think, overall, I want to tie that in for this is needed for us to live out who we are in Christ and to be spreading the good news to the ends of the earth. We need all these different elements of armor that God would give to us to wear and to be, of course, clothed in our character and all that. So that's kind of where we're going, and it might, we have, you know, as youth service, that will come in a couple of weeks, and there's some other significant Christian holidays like Pentecost that will come in, but I think it's all very relatable, and so we will come into probably maybe even early June or the end of May when we finish up this series, so looking mm-hmm. forward to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff, and a lot of stuff that, you know, if you're listening, I'm probably going to ask a question or two today that we're going to dive into more further later when we talk mm-hmm. more about the specific elements of the armor of God. So if there's a little bit of redundancy, great. You get drilled in your head again.
You start thinking about it already.
So. Exactly. So one thing, Dan, that I want to kind of start out with is you mentioned on Sunday that, and this is a little bit of a paraphrase here, but the armor of God is armor that God supplies, equips, and embodies. Could you explain what each of those things mean, especially the embodies portion? Because that's something that I hadn't really thought of before Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So it probably, I guess it'd be helpful to say that we started this week with just verses 10 to 13 of Ephesians 6. So the specific pieces of armor start after that. And we just wanted to start with kind of Paul's introduction to that and basically, you know, why it's so important we need to wear this. And so part of that was just saying, how we are able to stand strong in our lives as Christians is by putting on God's armor. And as we talked about that armor, just saying that this is armor that God gives to us, supplies, it's also armor that God himself wears. And then, in a sense, as we're putting these things on, we're putting on God himself. I think it's the last
That's
one.
That's the that last one especially. I would love a little more clarity on.
Yeah, yeah, you're kind of getting into. So the idea there is that God is these things. As we go into future weeks and we talk about truth or peace or salvation or righteousness, different points in Scripture we come across where that is the name that God's given. He is the Prince of Peace, for instance. You know, of course, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our salvation. You know, he is the Holy One, righteous. And so God is all of these things. He wears this armor, but there's a sense of like, well, of course he wears it, because it's him. It's kind of like our own skin. We don't say like, oh, what are you wearing today? Well, my skin.
True.
You are.
If you say that, it's probably a little odd, to
right.
be honest.
It's true, but it's also like, well, of course you are. You're taking that with you wherever you go. And so the idea is that when we then are wearing these things, so to speak, when we're living into truth and peace and righteousness, well, we're just actually wearing the Lord himself. We're mm-hmm. being clothed in him. And I think, especially in Paul's writing, it goes back to this idea of being united with Christ. And he harps on that so much, this union we have with Christ. When we receive him in faith, we have union with him. We become one with Christ as his people. And that, I think, comes into play in this picture, mm-hmm. too, that putting on this armor of God is to be united with Christ in who he is, and we're becoming more and more like him. So, yeah, it's a more of a, how do you want to put it? Just a different kind of way of looking at it. It's so easy to think about picking up a shield and taking it for,
and I think
taking on God's embodiment, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I think really another good element explaining that you talked about on Sunday was the team uniform sort of thing. And that this is an element of, like, we are a part of this, you know, if mm-hmm. we're in this relationship, we're on a part of this team. This is our team's uniform. This is what it looks like to be a part of this team. Yeah. So I thought that was another really helpful way of explaining that.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Like, you know, you think about the Beatitudes Jesus teaches. We did an evening series on that recently. And those words at the start of the Sermon on the Mount. And in some ways, Jesus is saying, you know, this is what my people look like. This kind of character and this kind of the way they relate to me and to those around them. And in doing that, that's like wearing the uniform, right? And so this is another example of that. Paul has all those virtue lists that he gives. Those are other examples, the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. But this is, we're coming to truth and salvation and faith and prayer and things we've hear a lot, but it's good to focus and say, how are we? And I think, we'll talk about that here and in weeks in the future. Like, how do we put what does that look like to wear these things?
And it's interesting because, on the one hand, these are, the identifiers of our lived out faith, mm-hmm. right? And, that shows that we're a part of this team. On the other hand, these are also tools we've been given, as you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciated, you had a lot of banging perfect analogies on...
I had a few that came to me last week for once. So.
There were a lot of really good ones. So if I keep bringing them up, I apologize. But they were just really good. But I loved your strongman example, the Conquerors example. So for those of you who don't know, the Conquerors is a strongman group that goes around and uses these crazy feats of athleticism to tell the story of Jesus and tell the gospel and share the gospel. And it's really phenomenal stuff. Like, it's your classic ripping a telephone book with your bare hands or bending rebar with your nose, which... to me, just doesn't make sense with the laws of physics, but I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And the way you explained it is anyone can be strong naturally, or they can even work at being strong, but in order to accomplish these feats, they've got to practice the technique for it. They've got to practice and use these tools to allow them to do these crazy cool feats. Mm-hmm. And your comparison was a lot of these, what we commonly call the armor of God is... it's a tool. It's a skill. It's a technique that we need to practice so that we can achieve these great...
Yeah, unlock the power that's available to us.
Exactly. Yeah. And what that kind of sounds like to me is a little bit different from how we traditionally think of the armor of God, in that, like, okay, I'm saved. There's, the salvation piece, and I've got the belt of truth, and, it's like a kind of a one-and-done thing. You put it on, and it's on. It sounds to me like this is a lot more like... again, like it's a constant putting it back on and putting it back on. Is that kind of a correct?
Well, there's a familiarity, right? I mean, we use the example of David and Saul later, but we have to be familiar with this armor. We have to know how to wear it, what it's for, and that comes with practice, right? And wearing it constantly and knowing. And so that's even when we get to the future weeks here, we'll talk about these different, why was someone wearing this belt? What was that for? Militarily even. And maybe that helps us get a window into the kind of things that Paul has in mind, as he's saying, the belt of truth or the shield of faith or whatever it might be, or the sword. Because that's true. Like, we talk about the conquerors, and it's just this knowing, like, there's actually a power in there, but you have to use it the right way for that to really be unleashed. So our pastor Eric here is one who works with the conquerors, right? And I remember a few years back, he's like, I think I could get you to rip a phone book. And I'm like, I don't know about that. And he gave me a smaller one, much smaller than the regular, but working at it, and he says, hey, you got to think about it this way, the way you need to tear it. And as he did that, sure enough, I started getting through it. I eventually did. I think I was done for about a week afterwards.
That's impressive. Still impressive.
But his coaching there of, like, this is the way you need to think about tearing that. You can't just do it like you're thinking a piece of paper, one sheet of paper. You do it differently. And so that, as we think about the armor of God, and we talk about these things in future weeks, truth and faith and righteousness and peace. These are words we throw around a lot. And maybe that equates to the traditional way. I think I'm just going to grab a phone book and rip it. I'm going to do this motion with my hands, where we maybe need to look at it again and say, actually, we need to handle it like this.
Hmm.
And this is what God intends. And as we look at Scripture, this is what this word gets into. That's how the power is unlocked. That's how this belt can protect me from the schemes of the evil one. Or this is how this shield can extinguish those flaming arrows, those darts he's sending my way. But if I maybe do it, you know, in a way that's not correct, it's not going to help me out, mm-hmm. or maybe even harm me. I hope that gets
and making sure you're
thinking.
Using the right tools for the job. So, like, my wife and I recently bought a house, and so we're learning all the complexities and adventures of maintaining a home.
Yeah.
And when we bought the house, I had a hammer, I had some screws, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was learning real quick that just a hammer and screws is not going to solve the majority. Like, you got to have the right tools for the right job, right?
Yep. For sure. And I think that's part of what Paul's teaching here is, like, these are the tools you need. And that's where the contrast with human effort or human strategies comes in.
Absolutely.
To say, like, yeah, I know the tools you have in your arsenal already, but friends, these aren't going to work here. They're only going to go so far. And that's, you know, you always hesitate sometimes to go to the political realm, but that was the example I gave of, I believe that's, in some cases, like our best human effort to try and impact, like, the good, evil, spiritual battle. And just saying, like, that doesn't work. It only goes so far. You know, a president comes in our case, or there's a new election, and we think, like, great, we've won the battle. And, like, 3 years later, we're doing the same thing. Because these things don't really have a say or have a great impact in the overall spiritual fight. Mm-hmm. And sort of say, like, this is what you need to stand strong. You need truth, and you need faith. And the great thing we have in Scripture is there's this wonderful image of all this body armor that we can relate to and think, oh, yeah, I know how that works. And, so I think you're right. You have the right tools for this battle, the gun for the gunfight, as we said, right?
Yeah. So. And we'll get into this a little more as we get further on in the series, talking about the individual elements and, you know, what they represent and how we practice them. But as we're getting ready to look at this, I'm wondering if you have any words about our tendency to hyperfocus on one or two of these.
Mm.
You know, so a lot of the time, you know, I might be really good at the truth thing, and I'm going to, you know, be surrounded by truth and speak truth. But I'm not necessarily going to do that with the shoes of peace, with that peace element.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the dangers that we fall into if we, you know, these are good things, but we don't focus on the full armor of God. We're like, man, my sword is going to be so sharp.
Right.
Like, what do you have any thoughts for that before? Again, obviously, I know we're going to talk more about this in detail later.
Yeah,
but
this is a good overall picture, and you said it well, Austin. It's emphasized twice just in those opening verses about the whole armor or the full armor, and that's no mistake, because Paul's saying we need all of this, all of it, right? It's not going to just do if I just go out there with my sword. Well, it'll help me some, but eventually I'm going to need my shield. I'm going to need those kind of military shoes. I'm going to need that belt and all the other pieces. And so I think naturally all of us have things that we're drawn towards. I mean, again, you might use the example of truth. For a certain type of person in mind, they're going to be really drawn to it, passionate about it, maybe more so than another aspect, and vice versa. And this is where it's important to see, one, the need of community. Just like we said, the example of soldiers stand together. They're each armed, but we stand together. And that's the same in the community. And we need that because just like in a regiment of soldiers, there were specific jobs and things. Certain ones did better than others. And that's true in the community of believers, too. There's some who are really good at upholding the truth. We think of that maybe being especially connected with the gospel and who God is, a proper understanding of who God is. We'll get into that next week. But, you know, we need people who maybe are good at apologetics and to speak that. But we also need the person who is passionate about prayer and leading the community and reminding us, like, hey, that's great. Yeah, we're going to go and feed our minds, but we need first to stop and pray. Or we need to think about, someone else might say, how this truth impacts the way we relate to the people around us and how the fruit of this is supposed to be peace. Yeah, we know at some point the cross divides, but we don't want anything else to divide. And so we need people who are good in that area. Just like, you know, we need, in a military sense, we need our artillery guy. Maybe you have the sharpshooter. Maybe you have the strategist.
And then you got 50,000 people doing different logistics because right. It doesn't work like that.
Right. And so that's, you know, I think right. A good example, again, thinking the imagery in the text of we need each other in the community. And to get to your another part of your question, the danger is that we get so heavy on one piece that it opens us up to attack on another. And I think we see this even in Revelation. You go to Revelation and the letters or sermons to the seven churches. I believe it's the first one there is Ephesus. And they are very clearly good on orthodoxy, truth. But Jesus says to them, but you've lost your first love. You're forgetting that love aspect. Truth and love is kind of the ultimate ones. We tend to emphasize one or the other. But the message there, too, is you need both. I commend you for holding well to the truth, Jesus says, but I hold this against you. And so, and he's not just saying that to grade us, like, oh, you're getting a B minus. It's because we become vulnerable.
And he's saying, hey, you know, this is, you haven't been maintaining this part of the armor. You should go put some work on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's dangerous for us spiritually. That's, you know, that aspect we have and even that vision of God, like waiting to punish us or point out. I hope as a parent, you know, when I'm disciplining my children or trying to teach them things, it's not just so I can like say, oh, yeah, I know better than you. It's to say, I want you to flourish. I want you to be healthy. You know, I want you to have the fullness of who you are. And that's what God wants for us. He's trying to protect us from the schemes of the evil one who's trying to take us to death, not life. And we have to see that we need the full armor in order to live that out, especially in this world.
Right. Another thing you talked about that I'd love to dive a little bit into is the reminder that these tools are not tools to be directed at other people, but these are tools for our spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking again about how our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers. And so if that's the case, you know, again, like our enemy is not each other. It's, you know, it's the devil, it's those powers and those inclinations, that sin nature. How do we navigate fighting against the sin nature and evil and separate that from the people that we see as perpetuating evil and perpetuating the sin nature? Because like you said, it's very easy for us to, we find a person, we're like, that person is living like the devil, that person, you know, and I think every single one of us does this at some level. So we're saying, man, if that person wasn't there, if that person wasn't doing the things this way, we'd be better off. And just how do we navigate trying to separate those two things, the human and the image of God in everyone, with some of these really terrible actions some of these people are doing?
Right. And it just to acknowledge, you know, obviously the evil one, right, is working through human agencies, human institution systems, all of that, right? So it is not easy to just separate out this. There's a reason that we kind of go in this direction. Part of it, I think, in our culture and context is we just don't talk about the spiritual side very much. You know, you've lived in Africa for many years. My sense, being in other places, and I haven't had a ton of experience there, but in other places I've been, I was always impressed by how much more, even with Christians, the spiritual side was brought out, maybe in the preaching, the teaching, the prayers.
Absolutely.
Than what I was used to or I voiced typically here. And I think the effect for us is that we're not thinking about that spiritual side of things very much, so then we are just thinking about the human side, you know, the very much what's in front of us, the flesh and blood. And so it becomes even more pronounced that, well, this person's the enemy. They need to be removed. If we could just deal with that person. Of course, we do that from a leadership perspective. But then also in our lives, you know, it becomes very much pointed at each other.
Yeah.
Rather than talking about, you know, if you and I were talking about sins, and we do need to talk about it, like, hey, Austin, Dan, I think you're going down a path here that's dangerous. But to bring in that spiritual side of, you know, I believe, you know, the enemy's trying to trick us here. He's trying to lead us astray or distract us from this. Or he, you know, I think you're not seeing this, you know, the danger behind this going on here could help us in the conversations. But this is always going to be tricky because, you know, there's times I do things that are unfortunately in league with the evil one, right? Mm-hmm. That are not helping the cause I want to help, but are hurting it. And just like, you know, in a basketball game, one of my friends in high school got a rebound, forgot which side of the court he was on, did a turnaround jump shot on our own hoop and scored, right? I mean, wasn't anything he was trying to do. He wasn't throwing the game or anything, but this is kind of like it is in our sin sometimes. We all of a sudden find ourselves shooting for the other team.
Right.
And we need often each other to point that out. I think the problem is sometimes we're launching flaming arrows at each other. That's not going to help. Mm. How do we talk about that? How do we, if someone's in error in regards to the truth, to use this coming week for an example, how do we approach that? We can just tell them, oh, you're wrong, I'm right. Well, that doesn't usually lead to fruitful, ends coming from that. So
right.
How do we talk about it? And maybe having more of a sense of the spiritual peace that's going on can help us.
Yeah, so I guess then, do you have any resources or advice for folks like us here in the United States who have been separated a little bit from that spiritual element and want, because there's so much to there's a lot to unpack there, and it's one of those things that you want to make sure you do well. Do you have any book recommendations or just ways that we can start thinking about rethinking about that? I know this is super on the spot.
Yeah,
so.
No, I was just thinking, that's a very good thought, though. This may be something that we can come back to
sure.
in future weeks and even put a link in maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
To some resources in our podcast piece, because I think we could give a better complete list. And it depends, too. You know, some of us this is really uncomfortable for because we just haven't been stretched that way. So there might be resources that are more helpful for some than others, too. So let's come back
great.
To it, and I'll do some looking as well through my own library and give some thought to, here's maybe some ways we can think about
that'd be
awesome,
get
into the spiritual battle, maybe even written from a Reformed perspective that might be helpful for a lot of our audience. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's others, too, that push us a little bit, because there's been some that have been given to me that I found helpful, just have allowed me to get in touch with, I don't know if that's the phrase, but at least be thinking more about, hey, there is a spiritual side, not only to me, but just in general,
right.
a world that's there very close that I need to be aware of.
Yeah. Well, that's great, because that means we both have some homework. So listeners, if a few weeks go by and you haven't, you send me an email, say, Austin, get your act together.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we want to be helpful in that regard.
Great. Was there anything in the scripture we talked about on Sunday that you thought about spending more time in but decided against?
Mm. You know, one point I didn't make, I actually had it in my outline, and I felt like we were going a little long, and then I probably just rushed and didn't do it. But we talked about how that word for struggle is the hand-to-hand combat kind of wrestling picture, and, you know, this is a close battle. But the piece I kind of wanted to say at the end that I didn't is just the image of that comes up so often in the text of standing. You know, when you've done everything to stand, and it connects so beautifully with that picture of wrestling, because if you've seen a wrestling match, and really any kind of, you know, UFC, boxing, any of these things, what they do at the end with the winner, they come there with the ref, and they stand in the middle, and they raise their arm up. And that's really what's being pictured here. At the end of the day, how do you know who won the wrestling match? Well, it's the one who's standing, in that way. And so that's, I think, what Paul's getting into as well. If we want to stand at the end, and that's what he's saying, after you've done everything to stand, you need to wear this armor. You need to be clothed with God's own character. And as we are, we'll be the victors, too, in the end with Christ. The overcomers, to use Jesus' language.
And that's such a great reminder that, you know, the victory is already won. We say this all the time, but I think we sometimes forget that, the battle's already been fought.
Yeah.
We're just in that time leading up to them ringing the bell.
Yes. Yeah, it's hard to, you know, think about that from, like, a wrestling match. It's almost like, you know, competition's already won. You're still fighting your battle.
The guy's
been
hit so hard that you can tell he's about to go down. He just, you know, we're just waiting for a little bit longer.
The example people often give historically is World War II, you know, after the D-Day invasion, that the outcome was no longer in doubt. But there were still skirmishes, fights, battles that had to take place.
Mm-hmm.
But the outcome was not in doubt. Where, with Christ's victory at the cross and the empty tomb, the outcome's not in doubt, but there's still ongoing skirmishes until he returns again.
It's a great reminder.
Victory day, right?
Absolutely. What can we be looking forward to next Sunday? You said a little bit into truth, I think.
Yes. So, yeah, we'll get into the now individual pieces of armor. And so we're going to get into the belt of truth. And some of these weeks, so I think we'll have physical visuals up there. This probably won't be one. It's a little bit of a different piece.
You get one of the
around.
Big WWE belts.
Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe a belt like that. Their belts looked a little different, but we'll have a picture up at least and want to think about, one, like, well, what was the belt for in the armory of a Roman soldier at that time? And how does that maybe connect with truth? And we'll talk about, to ask the pilot question, you know, what is truth?
Right.
Yeah, what are we talking about when we say truth? We might have 100 different ideas out in our congregation. What is, as that word comes up in Scripture, what are we going to there? And so then I think to get into your question, well, then how do we appropriately wear this in our lives? What does that look like? So probably those couple of pieces will direct where we go in the sermon.
Great. Awesome. Well, I'm super excited for that, Dan. I hope everyone else, you guys listening, are as well. Yeah, we're super excited. We're very glad to be back and looking forward to meeting up with you all next time. God bless.